Let us now turn to read God's word this morning. And our reading is from the Old Testament in the book of 2 Chronicles and chapter 20. 2 Chronicles and chapter 20. And we're going to read verses 1 through 19. And just so that you get the drift of what it's about, in broad outline, here we have the threat of war coming against Jehoshaphat. And there is a great multitude, repeated for us several times in our reading, coming against them. And we read, and we're profitable to think of what he does at the prospect of this battle. What does he do? He goes and he prays before the Lord. That's the thrust of the chapter. Let us now read it in detail. And it came to pass after this also that the children of Moab and the children of Ammon, and with them others beside the Ammonites, came against Jehoshaphat to battle. Then there came some that told Jehoshaphat, saying, "There cometh a great multitude against thee from beyond the sea on this side of Syria. And behold, there be in Hazzanot Tamar, which is in Gedi." And Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord, and proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. And Judah gathered themselves together to ask help of the Lord. Even out of all the cities of Judah they came to seek the Lord. And Jehoshaphat stood in the congregation of Judah and Jerusalem in the house of the Lord before the new court. And he said, "O Lord God of our fathers, art not thou God in heaven? And rulest not thou over all the kingdoms of the heathen? And in thine hand is there not power and might, so that none is able to withstand thee? Art not thou our God, who dost drive out the inhabitants of this land from before thy people Israel, and gavest it to the seed of Abraham thy friend forever? And they dwell therein, and have built thee a sanctuary set therein for thy name, saying, If when evil come upon us, as the sword, judgment, or pestilence, or famine, we stand before this house and in thy presence, for thy name is in this house, and cry unto thee in our affliction, then thou wilt hear and help. And now, behold, the children of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, whom thou wouldst not let Israel invade when they came out of the land of Egypt, but they turned from them and destroyed them not. Behold, I say, how they reward us to come and cast us out of thy possession, which thou hast given us to inherit. O our God, wilt thou not judge them? For we have no might against this great company that cometh against us. Neither know we what to do, but our eyes are upon thee." And all Judah stood before the Lord, with their little ones, their wives, and their children. Then upon Jahaziel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaiah, the son of Jehiel, the son of Mattaniah, a Levite of the sons of Asaph, came the Spirit of the Lord in the midst of the congregation, and he said, "Hearken ye, all Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, and thou, King Jehoshaphat, thus saith the Lord unto thee. Be not afraid nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Tomorrow go ye down against them. Behold, they came up by the city of by the cliff of Ziz, and ye shall find them at the end of the brook, before the wilderness of Jeruel. You shall not need to fight in this battle. Set yourselves, stand ye still, and see the salvation of the Lord with you, O Judah and Jerusalem. Fear not, nor be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord will be with you." And Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground. And all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem fell before the Lord, worshipping the Lord. And the Levites, of the children of the Kohathites, and of the children of the Korahites, stood up to praise the Lord God of Israel with a loud voice on high. Amen, and may God add his blessing and give to us understanding in that reading of his own holy and inspired word. And we continue our worship, coming now to sing from Psalm 46. Psalm 46, and we're singing from verse 7. The Lord of hosts upon our side. These words of Psalm 46, familiar as they are to us, they echo what we've been just singing, Second Chronicles. The Lord of hosts upon our side doth constantly remain. The God of Jacob's our refuge, us safely to maintain. Come and behold what wondrous works have by the Lord been wrought. Come, see what desolations he on the earth hath brought. Unto the ends of all the earth wars and to peace he turns. The bow he breaks, the spear he cuts, in fire the chariot burns. Be still and know that I am God. Among the heathen I will be exalted. I on earth will be exalted high. Our God, who is the Lord of hosts, is still upon our side. The God of Jacob, our refuge, forever will abide. Psalm 46, from 7 to the end. The Lord of hosts upon our side doth constantly remain. For our meditation this morning, I want to turn to the book of Psalms. The book of Psalms and the 20th Psalm. Let us read these 9 verses. The Lord hear thee in the day of trouble. The name of the Lord, the name of the God of Jacob, defend thee. Send thee help from thy sanctuary and strengthen thee out of Zion. Remember all thine offerings and accept thy burnt offering. Selah. Grant thee according to thine own heart and fulfill all thy counsel. We will rejoice in thy salvation, and the name of our God we will set up our banners. The Lord fulfill all thy petitions. Now know I that the Lord saveth his anointed. He will hear him from his holy heaven with the saving strength of his right hand. Some trust in chariots and some in horses. But we will remember the name of the Lord our God. They are brought down and fallen, but we are risen and stand upright. Save, Lord. Let the King hear us when we call. Today, through the length and breadth of our land and overseas in many different memorial places, there's a time to remember, and there are moments of reflection. As a nation and as individuals, there is a remembrance of past conflicts in different places, where many people gave up their life that we might enjoy the freedom that we now have. In the spring of 1944, in India, there was the Japanese attack to take and possess India. And there was a battle at a place called Kohomi. It was a place where that Japanese attack was frustrated and turned back. And there is what is called the Kohomi epitaph, written on one of the tombstones there. When you go home, tell them of us and say, for your tomorrow, we gave our today. There's a degree of formality coming upon us as a nation in these remembrances, but there is also a personal dimension to it. Old and painful memories are opened. It's good to pause and to think. Time may dull, but it will never remove the memory or the pain. But in all of that remembrance and reflection that takes place today, in all that is going on, something is forgotten that we don't hear so much about. There is a dimension that is neglected to some degree. And that simply is how much we owe to God for his help and our deliverance. Yes, there are the official remembrance services where God's word may well be read and a reference be made. But when it's heard, as the day goes on today, it's soon forgotten. Until next time. God has his place in the life of our nation for Christmas, for Easter, for remembrance, these great events. But it's only a place. Between these markers, we disregard what God says, we discount him, and we even dismiss any claims that he has or things that he might say. In these days, in this day, there will be many and there will be much quoting of the words of men. The familiar ode, in the morning and in the going down of the sun, we will remember them. That simple epitaph that was raised for the British Expeditionary Force at the Battle of Mons. We have that great poem in Flanders Field composed by the Canadian Lieutenant Colonel McRae. 17 days he was in the Battle of Ypres. 17 days of constant bombardment. And he went and he buried his friend. And as he did so, he saw the poppies growing where he buried his friend, and he wrote that poem in Flanders Field. Yes, there will be many quotations of the words of men. But let us now lay all that to one side and let us hear the word of God. And particularly the emphasis that is given to us here in verse 7. Some trust in chariots and some in horses. But we will remember the name of the Lord our God. The picture that is behind this psalm is exactly the one that is in the front of many people today. It is a time of battle and of war. We have here a nation getting to the point of commitment. The preparation of the men and the weaponry has all been done. The strategy and the tactics have all been set. Everything is now in place. So what is the leader going to do? We have here the leader of the nation taking time to be alone with God. We have here the leader of the army taking time to bring everything before his God. We saw it there in our reading in 2 Chronicles, the way in which Jehoshaphat, what does he do? As well as all the people, they bring their problems before the Lord. There we read, and we don't know what to do. We're at a loss to understand everything or to know what the complete plans are. But this one thing that they do, we lift our eyes and we fix them upon you. So it is in this psalm here, the psalmist speaks of the leader. He waits upon God, gathers everything together and brings it before the Lord and people in prayer. And this psalm, we've got to try to understand it very carefully. The prayer that is given to us here in the words we have read, it's not the prayer of the leader. We are not told what that prayer is. But if you can imagine the army set and deployed, and they see their leader, and they see him in prayer, and the people who know that he prays, these people are now praying for him. They are praying for their leader, that God would answer, that God would hear what he's asking for and what he is saying. But whatever we have here, there is a general principle that's not restricted solely to battle in that verse 7. Whatever be the situation they face in great conflict, yes, they're praying and they're putting their confidence in the Lord, the same as Jehoshaphat put his confidence in the Lord. And the principle comes down to ourselves. Any situation that you and I are in, it might have huge significance, just as the way the battle would go, it was of hugely significance to the people. Any situation where issues are at risk of a great nature, the lives of these people, your soul and mine. Any situation where they face a formidable enemy, where we face a formidable enemy, it is good to create these moments of silence and quietness, to focus our thoughts and to turn to the Lord in prayer. We might be at a spiritual crossroads. The destiny of our souls may be at stake. Spiritual forces might be engaged with us and against us. What does this leader do? What example does he give for us to do? He prays. And as he prays, so now we come to Psalm 20 and the people pray for the king. The Lord hear thee in the day of trouble. The situation we've looked at and painted there is of a time of battle, but it applies to all peoples at all times in any kind of emergency we might face. The day of trouble is turned into the day of prayer. The champion, the representative, the leader of the people is the one who has prayed for them as they go into battle. But it's a legitimate privilege given to every saint of God. We have access to our God and we can bring with us the big things on a huge scale or the small things on a very personal scale for ourselves. The day of trouble becomes the day of prayer. That we can bring these concerns to the one who sympathizes, the one who knows, and the one who has the resources both of wisdom and of practical strength and might to overcome, to solve, to give deliverance, whatever might be the problem we face. We have indeed a God who hears and answers prayer. That's what we're told of here in this very first verse. The Lord hear thee in the day of trouble. As I said, we're not told what this man prayed for. We're not told what he asked for before God. But we do have this great encouragement about the God he spoke with. We are told about this God. He is a God who hears and answers prayer. And so therefore, as a nation for ourselves, as ourselves individually, there is no day of trouble on whatever scale it might be it the battle that was for Jehoshaphat, be it the circumstances behind Psalm 20, be it the field of McCrae in the Battle of Ypres, be it in the quoting of the Ode in the Battle of Mons, be it the battles that have come down through the years to ourselves, there is no day of trouble that is beyond the resources of our Lord. In all of these circumstances we face, life and death issues might indeed be at risk, but there is this great tranquility. There is this great composure that comes from trusting in a sovereign God. we can be put to the test. And every time that test comes of relying upon the Lord in a fresh conflict or problem, there is a degree of apprehension. But there is also a growing reliance upon our God. Can you think just for a moment of one of the soldiers that were going to battle in Psalm 20? He's standing there with a sword in his hand. And if you just take time to go and look at him, you'll find that the edge of the sword is hacked. It's scratched. You can see that it's been at work somewhere in battle before. It's not rusty, but it's well used. The kind of battle this guy was in, this soldier had been engaged in, you can see that sword was used time and time and time again. And he still holds on to it and he's still going to use it. Now take that lesson and apply it. There is the possibility of hearing some Christian professing a faith that's all polished. It's all gleaming. It's all new and it's pristine. It can be admired because of its so spectacular colors and presentation. But the question we've got to ask, like we saw with the sword, has it ever been used? Has that faith ever been put to the test and to the mark? Yes, the sword is hacked and battered and chipped, and each one of these has a memory for the psalmist and for the person who uses the sword. And every one of these memories and all of these chips give him confidence as he goes into another battle. Tested he was, day-to-day situations. Tested as a Christian is, day after day, with his back against the wall. A day of trouble, but as a day when the Lord delivered from such trouble. Yes, the Lord hear thee in the day of trouble. The name of the God of Jacob defend thee. The name. God is not the unknown God. But the name of the Lord God tells us a lot about himself. We're given a whole variety of revelations, or at least windows to look into the character of our God, focusing upon particular aspects of God or resources that he gives to defend and to support his people. We haven't said the God of all grace, when particularly that's the need. Then there is the God of all wisdom, when guidance is required. Then we're told that he is the Almighty God when power and strength are the issues of the moment. You see what happens. Windows through which we look and see and focus upon something of our God. The names of God are rich, bringing that character home to his people in their time of need. So what's the point here? The point here is, he is the God of Jacob. What does that focus on? Here is Jacob, and how he was so inconsistent at times. He was filled with failures and weaknesses, and that's what the devil will stir up in every one of the Lord's people. The devil will stir up the way in which we've been inconsistent, and the way in which we've been weak, and the way in which we've drifted and fallen back. And when we have to go into battle, all these things will be pressing on the mind, just as they press on the mind of the soldier. The foolishness you've done. Look at the way you behaved just recently. Is God going to defend you in battle? Is God going to defend and protect you as a Christian? And the argument is simply this: the God of Jacob. Jacob, who was so changeable, who was so inconsistent. Jacob, who was so often this way, then that way. But God was constant in his dealings with him. There is a beautiful text given to us in the very last book, Malachi chapter 3, where he says in verse 6, I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. You are sons of Jacob, you're like him. But God does not change in the way he deals with you because of the way in which you're just like Jacob. Up and down, this way and that, so frivolous, so inconsistent. God remains steadfast in his determination to bless, to save Jacob. And so it is with those who are the sons of Jacob. They can trust in the God of Jacob. So yes, here we have the name of the Lord set before us. But not only that, we're told in verse 2, the prayer of these people, send thee help, send help to our leader for the sanctuary and strengthen him out of Zion. What's he saying here, mentioning particularly the sanctuary like this? What he's talking about is the earthly sanctuary where they came to offer their sacrifices. That place where the Lord gave a vivid display of his presence with his people. That's what he's talking about and focusing upon. And there are two things we've got to very carefully remember about this. Remember all thine offerings and accept thy burnt sacrifices. When we come to worship God, when this man came to worship God, God was there and God met him and God knew everything about him. This sanctuary, God was aware of the very private thoughts of this man. God knew all the attitudes and motives of this man. His life was clearly known to God in all of its depth and all of its privacy. He saw everything about this leader as he came in prayer before his God in that earthly sanctuary. The Lord knew that this was a sincere worshipper. The Lord knew that this was a man who engaged with all of his resources to wait upon and to worship and serve his God. He engaged with his mind, thinking about his God. He engaged with all of his strength in worshiping God. He came with the devotion of his heart in commitment to God. There was nothing frivolous outward about this man's approach and worship. And we need to repeat these words time and again, especially in a day like today, when there is so much ceremony and ritual. We've got to get behind it and below it. How are we individually before God's scrutiny? It's not just distraction and habit and ritual because it's remembrance that we come to worship our God. The Lord knew this man in the earthly sanctuary where he came to worship. God knew him in every aspect of his life. And it's the same still today. Wherever a service is taking place, here or elsewhere in our land, whatever we're doing in God's name, God is there, and he knows what you and I are like. He knows where our thinking is going. He knows where our mind is racing as we come to worship him. Yes, he is near. And that's a very challenging thought. But also he is near, and this is the comforting thought, he is near to help. He's not ignorant of those for whom he helps. He's not a distance from us. He needs to be recruited or won over or drawn to his attention. No. God is very close to those who are in need. And that's what he's speaking about. The psalmist, these people, speaking about their leader, saying to God, you see him, you know him, you're close by him, send him help. That help is fulsome. It's not reluctant. It's not limited. It's the help of Almighty God. Oh yes, it's measured to the situation that he's in. What do we read here? People that are fighting against the leader here. Oh, they'll turn to all of their armory. They'll turn to all of their forces of chariots and horses. Today, people will turn to the treasury and the pound of currency and coin. People will turn to the power of contracts and business arrangements. People will resort to all kinds of devices for their own advancement or their own blessing. But what does a Christian do? We turn to our sanctuary and to meet with our God. David was a devout man. There was nothing formal about him. He wore down a path to the secret place of meeting with God. And therefore, in the day of trouble, it was not a strange thing for him to turn aside and to meet with God and to ask for God's help. We are told there at the end of verse 3, Selah. What that means simply is, stop and think for a while of what's just been said. Words can go over our heads, through our minds, and are lost very quickly. In, out. And what the psalmist is wanting us to heed is, stop and think and listen to what has just, the sheer magnitude of the truth and the words that have been said. In the heat and the pressure of the day, get your mind and get your heart right. Pause before the Lord as you march into battle, yes. But pause before the Lord as you face any situation today. Waiting upon God is never a wasted time. Get the strength we need for whatever battle, problem, or situation we face. God's help from his sanctuary. He is nearby, close to us. Let us wait upon him in prayer. That's what these people recognized. And they asked the Lord to answer and to deliver. And so we come to verse 4. Grant thee according to thine own heart and fulfill all thy counsel. Here he is, the leader. He's made all the plans. He set out everything. And the prayer of the people is, let his plans be fulfilled. Let all his plans be realized. When you go to, I'll just simply give the reference, but in Isaiah chapter 36, if you go back to chapter 36 and read from verse 5 onwards, you'll find there that the people of Israel were doing a strange and a silly thing. They thought that for success they could rely and trust upon Egypt. We are trusting, we are leaning upon Egypt. That's who's going to keep us and who's going to deliver us. And God says, Savior? No. If that's your plans, you are going to be disappointed. And he says, you're going to be like this. You're going to be like somebody who leans on a broken stick. And it snaps and it stabs them. That's what it's going to be like if you lean upon Egypt. And instead, in that chapter 36, God tells his people, lean upon the Lord. And when you do that, you'll find plans are fulfilled and things are blessed and success comes. peace, tranquility, are day after day experiences for God's people. Because our plans are God's plans unfolding for us. Oh, yes. There may be times when our plans are not met and are not fulfilled, but that doesn't mean we're frustrated. Instead, we simply accept this to be the overruling of heavenly wisdom. Here is the plans of this nation and this leader coming to fruition. All of his plans realized as he trusts and relies upon his God. So we're not told then. We're not told what the man prayed for. Perhaps there's a good reason why we're not told. Because we can now think of what these people said about God and not about what the king spoke about with his God. We can be encouraged, whatever be the situation we're in, whatever concerns we have, we can go to this God described for us here. A day of trouble, a day of prayer. A God who's close and a God who helps. A God who sends that help and a God who fulfills his plans and intentions towards his people. All of it focusing upon the Lord. We're told, we will rejoice in thy salvation. And the name of our God we will set up our banner. Again, we think of the battlefield in times gone by when there were colours were the marker wherever the regimental headquarters were. The colours were the centre of the regiment. And whenever battle came about, the colours were there to be defended at all costs. The colours were the mustering point and the rallying point of all the people. So the Lord is the mustering and the rallying point of his people still. When we gather round him, he will preserve and protect his own. We can come with that same boldness of approach. We can come before this same God today. And we can know that same result for ourselves. The simple prayer this people made for the king as he himself sought God and his blessings upon that people. But I don't want to stop there, but I want to go on quickly to think of not only the prayer for the king, but I want just for a few moments to think of the confidence of these people. It's given there in verse 6. Now I know that the Lord saves his anointed. He will hear him from his holy heaven with the saving strength of his right hand. Suddenly, the scale is broadened out and the picture is expanded and enlarged. Suddenly, in verse 2, the help came out of Zion, the earthly sanctuary. But now in verse 6, the help comes from heaven. And it comes at the right hand of God. Whenever you speak at somebody's right hand, you're focusing on their strength, on their commitment, on their power. And what we have here is the confidence of these people. Yes, this is the God who's going into battle with us. This is the victory that we will have. Whenever we're afar off, whenever we're drifting, we will be exposed and we will be vulnerable. But when we gather round the colours, when we gather round our God, when we trust and rely upon him, yes, now I know. This is the confidence that is instilled and bred and grows from relying upon God. God saves his people. Their confidence, their reliance upon the Lord. And so they give to us this great principle that applies to them, but to all of God's people. Yes, we rely upon the Lord. Some others, they trust in chariots and some in horses. But we will remember the name of the Lord our God. Oh, chariots and horses in these days, they were imposing things. They were intimidating displays. When you got a rank of chariots in full flight and the dust they rose, it was very, very frightening. It was a formidable force. The warlike equipment is the source of their confidence, but not for the child of God. We do not rely upon horses or in chariots. Even these people, just for a moment, think what they might have remembered from their history. Chariots and horses? Go back to Exodus chapter 2. And there we have, in Exodus chapter 14 rather, there we have them being brought out from Egypt. And they're coming to the water's edge and they don't know the way ahead. And the Lord divides the Red Sea and they cross it. And all the while there's coming behind after them a mighty chariot race of Egyptians. And they follow them into the sea. And the chariots and the horses get bogged down. And they're swamped. Yes. That's what happens to chariots and horses. That's what happens when people put their trust in the wrong things. But we will remember the name of our God. We will remember what we've learned. We will remember what we've discovered. We will remember what we've experienced. Take that sword in the hand of the soldier with all of its nicks and knucks notched out of it. The way in which every one of them could speak of a battle, just the same way as the colours in any regiment have the place of the great battles of that regiment also. Just think of Kohima, Mons, Ypres, Thiepval. Think of Afghanistan. Think of all the different places where there's been war and conflict. And the mind immediately goes back. That's what these people were doing. We will remember the name of the Lord our God. Remember the ways in which in so many different places, days of trouble, back against the wall, the Lord helped us. He will indeed be a saviour and a deliverer for his people. And the one last thought that the psalmist gives us is just to look at the outcome and the result. Those people who trust in horses, and we who trust in the Lord, what happens to each? Verse 8. They are brought down and fallen, but we are risen and stand upright. It might indeed look at some time that the battle is swinging against our nation. It might look at some time as if the battle is swinging against the church. It might look at some time the battle is swinging against the Christian. But the foundation on which they stand and these people rely is a rotten foundation. And the cracks soon develop. And you hear the groaning. And the wisdom doesn't realize its purpose. And people fall and stumble. On the other hand, you can see the church and the first blows of the enemy seems to flatten them. And it seems to pound the Christian down. But then, we're told here about the right hand of the Lord. The right hand of the Lord is the saving strength of his people. And the right hand lifts his people up again and gives them victory. Yes, the outcome and the consequences are there given for us. For those who trust in chariots and in some in horses, they're brought down and they fall. But there are others who will remember the name of the Lord, and they are risen and they stand up. It comes down to a very personal level. We can say that for ourselves as we trust in the Lord ourselves. We can say it also as a nation. Now Israel may say in that truly, if that the Lord, and so the Psalm 124 goes on. Yes, indeed, if the Lord had not been on our side, if he had not kept us and saved us when evil forces rose up in mighty power against us, where would we be today? The day of trouble, day of prayer, the day of deliverance. But let us see here a general principle that we can take with us from Remembrance Sunday. A principle that we can take with us and wrap it up in all of the circumstances of life. 24/7 we say, 365. Take the principle of verse 7. Don't rely on resources of other people. Don't rely on any human resources, whatever might be their complexion, color, or attraction. Whatever problem be in the day of trouble, some will rely on chariots and some on horses. But the word of the Lord for us this morning to our nation and to every one of us individually is, rather than trusting in horses and chariots, in power and might and finance and business or anything else, we will remember the name of the Lord our God, and we will rely upon him. The day of trouble, the day of prayer, the day of salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Our Lord and our gracious God, we bow our heads as those of whom we have been reading bow theirs, when thou didst break in and give deliverance or indication of that purpose. Lord, as a nation and as a people today, remembrance is made and remembrance is given. But Lord, may we follow the spiritual pattern rather than the expectations of men. And may we bow before thee. And may we remember what thou hast done for us. And may we renew our vows before thee to serve thee and to follow thee. Hear us, Lord, these are prayers of our heart. And may they be the echo of our nation this day. And do thou, O Lord, be our God, keeping us and blessing us. We ask these things in the name of Jesus Christ, thine own Son. Amen. We close this morning by singing from Psalm 62. Psalm 62, and we're singing at verse 5. My soul, wait thou with patience upon thy God alone. On him dependeth all my hope and expectation. He only my salvation is, and my strong rock is he. He only is my sure defense. I shall not move thee. In God my glory placed is, and my salvation sure. In God the rock is of my strength, my refuge most secure. These pictures that are painted for us in these three verses, focusing upon God. And then in verse 8 we have the result. You people place your confidence in him continually. Before him pour ye out your heart. God is a refuge high. 62, 5 through 8. My soul, wait thou with patience. And now may grace, mercy, and peace from God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.